Do mal. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercies. Thank you for your blessings we have received. Thank you for your love toward us. Thank you for your compassions. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for all that you have done in our lives and all that you're doing at the moment. And all that you're about to do, be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for your power that is changing our lives and situations. Thank you for your strength that is walking in us, making us better Christians. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for all the miracles you have done in our lives through this program. We thank you for the healing miracles and for the deliverance miracles. We thank you for destroying the works of darkness that were formed against us. Thank you, Jesus. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are here this morning to seek you, to learn at your feet, and to pray, O Lord, visit us in Jesus' name. Let your heavens be open over this meeting and over everyone that will join. And those that have joined already, let your heavens open over us, and let your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. Have your way in our midst, and let your name be glorified. Thank you, Father, for I know you're going to do beyond our request. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. May welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to look at the scriptures, and I will talk briefly on the scriptures before we will pray. Open your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Psalm 2. The book of Psalms, chapter 2. Open your Bibles. Psalms, chapter 2. And you read from verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I would declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye king. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Seek the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled, but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Praise the Lord. We've just finished reading Psalms chapter 2 from verse 1 to the end, from verse 1 to 12. Now, if you look at these psalms, at this psalm very well, you will realize that it's talking about Jesus. In the last verse, verse 12, it says, kiss the Son, lest he be hungry, and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. In New Living Translation, it says, submit to God's royal son, or you will become angry and you will be destroyed in the midst of all your activities. For his anger flares up in an instant. But what joy for all who take refuge in him. So you can see that this chapter of Psalm 2 is really talking about Jesus. And we are instructed to submit to him, or he will get angry. So what King James Version meant by the Son is submit to the Son. That is, you kneel down. You kneel down, you bow down, and kiss his feet. Now, submit to the Son, lest you will be angry. If you don't do that, his wrath will be kindled, and you will perish from the way. That's what the Bible said. And then he went further to say, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Yeah, I want you to take note of this last verse. Now we're going to look at the other verses in this chapter. Verse 1 says, why do the heathen rage? I mean, Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. A New Living Translation says, why are the nations so hungry? Why are the nations so hungry? Why do they waste their time with futile plans? Why do they waste their time with futile plans? So why are the nations so hungry? Why do the heathen rage? We know that the heathen rage, or they are so hungry because they hate Jesus. They hate God's royal son, God's only begotten son. That is why they are so hungry. They are so hungry against God's righteousness. They are so hungry against the truth. They are so hungry against God's standards. They are so hungry that God wants to take over the nations for himself. And these are the same nations they felt belongs to them. Yeah. If you look at that verse 2, it says the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Against the Lord, that is the God of heaven and the earth, the God of Israel. And then it says, against his anointed, that is Christ, Jesus Christ, against the Lord, that is the God of heaven and the earth, the God of Israel. And then against his anointed, that is Christ, that is Jesus Christ. Because the word Christ actually means the anointed one. That's the meaning of Christ. Christ means the anointed one. Yeah, so you can see why the nations are so angry. Because they hate God. And they hate God's anointing. They hate Jesus Christ. Yeah. They hate the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And not only that, they hate the church of Jesus Christ. And not only that, they hate the people that serves Jesus. The people that follows Jesus. They hate them. They hate them. Hallelujah. Now, if we read further, in verse 3. I'm going to read that verse 3 in NLT version. That is New Living Translation, so you can understand. In verse 3, it says, let us, that is these people, these kings of the earth, these rulers of nations. Now, this is what they say. They said in verse 3. They said, let us break their chains. They cry. And free ourselves from slavery to God. Then let us break their chains. They cry. And free ourselves from slavery to God. So you can see they don't want to serve God. They don't want to obey God. So they say we are going to break the chains that God is using to control us. Yeah, we're going to release ourselves from slavery to God. Now, what did God, or what did God do, or what would God do? In verse 4, it says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The one who rules in heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Yeah, that is what NLT says. Then in anger he rebukes them, terrifying them with his fierce fury. For the Lord declares, I have placed my chosen king on the throne in Jerusalem on my holy mountain. Yeah, so God wants the nations to serve Jesus. I mean all the nations of the earth. He wants all the kings of the earth to serve Jesus. And even right now, as I'm talking to you, they shall serve Jesus. They must serve Jesus. They have no choice. Every nation, every kingdom, every king, they shall serve Jesus. Now, if you look at Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. I want you to take note of that. It says the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It says that there shall be no end to his government. And the peace his government will bring. It says government shall be upon his shoulder. So God have given the throne to Jesus. And just as it were in the days, just as it were in the days when David was ruling from his throne in Jerusalem. We know that throughout the reign of David, no kingdom was able to conquer Israel. Every battle David led and fought, he always won those battles. Every battle that the armies of David, when David was not or did not go to war or did not lead his army to war, but assigned his the captain of his soldiers to lead, they always win battles. Even those instances that David was not the one leading the army, the army, they always win battles. So you can go and study your Bible throughout the reign of David. He never lost any battle. The other kings, they were instances they lost battles. But David never lost battles. Yeah, he always won. So what does that mean? If there is a kingdom that cannot be defeated, what can we see of that kingdom? If you think very deep, what can you see of that kingdom? What we can say is that such kingdom is above every other kingdoms. Yeah, so how we know or how we can position the kingdom is by how much strength they have, how much victory they have, how much battles they conquer, how much nations they have fought and conquered. That is how we'll be able to measure the strength and the greatness of a nation or of a kingdom. So as at that time David was on the throne, the world power was with Israel. So Israel was the world power. That is, Israel was the most powerful nation in the world, because no country has been able to fight them and overcome. No nation has been able to fight them and overcome. Yeah. So even now, God has put Jesus on the throne of David. And God have given him power that is above every other power. God has given him authority, dominion that is over all. Now, don't think that Jesus is only ruling over invisible forces. So don't think he's only ruling over demons, unseen forces of darkness, unseen spirits. No. Jesus is also ruling over physical nations, governments of nations of the world. Jesus is ruling over them. Jesus is above them all. Jesus has conquered them all. So Jesus has conquered all the governments of nations. He has conquered the world. He said to his disciples, he said, in this world you will have tribulations. That is, you will suffer attack. You will suffer persecution. But he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. So Jesus actually has conquered the world. Yeah, but the problem with Christians is that we don't know how to walk in that dominion. Or we don't know how to benefit from that dominion because of the lack of faith. Because we lack faith. Let us look at First John. Open your Bibles to First John. First John. Chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Praise the Lord. You can see it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So indeed, we have overcome the world. We have overcome the world. Is that that place where it says, this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. That is chapter 5 of this First John. First John chapter 5, verse 4. First John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Can you see that? For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, New Living Translation says, for every child of God defeats this evil world. For every child of God defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory through our faith. We achieve this victory through our faith. So indeed, Jesus has conquered the world. Jesus has conquered the nations. Because I realize that many Christians, they only think that Jesus, the only thing that Jesus have only conquered the invisible realms. The unseen spirits, Satan and his agents, demons, principalities and powers of darkness, rulers of darkness. They don't know that Jesus have also conquered this physical world and the systems in this world, including the governments of this world. Jesus have conquered this world. Do you believe that? Jesus, I've conquered everything in every way. And that was why in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11, Philippians 2, verse 9 to 11, it says, God hath highly exalted him, and God hath given him a name that is above every name. So when the Bible says every name, it's not referring to just name of invisible things, demons or Satan. Every name means every name, including names of human beings, including names of governors and prime ministers and presidents of nations and kings and rulers and queens. Every name is every name. Yeah. So when the Bible says God hath highly exalted him and hath given him a name which is above every name, that is exactly as it is. Every name is every name. So you can just put any name there that you know. The name of Jesus has been exalted above them all. Hallelujah. And it went further to say that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth or on earth, and things underneath the earth. Yeah. So things on earth, did it not include everything that you can see with your eyes? Yeah. And that is why we pray in the name of Jesus, because that is our victory lies. Our victory lies in the name of Jesus. Our dominion lies in the name of Jesus. So that name has conquered the world. So you can bring down governments through the name of Jesus. You can say in the name of Jesus, let this government that is ruling in this particular country, let it fail. Because you understood that the government is working against God. So Christians can pray in the name of Jesus that an evil government should fail and fall. And God will hear that prayer. Why? Because that name has conquered all the governments of nations. Yeah. So if you understand how much Jesus has conquered this world, there are some suffering you will not suffer, because you will pray with understanding and you will pray with great faith, and heaven will answer your prayers. Now before we pray, let us look at Matthew chapter 6. Many of you know about this place I want to read, in Matthew chapter 6. But I want you to see something there. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 9, that one. Matthew chapter 6 from verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, I'm going to stop there. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? Jesus was teaching the disciples what to pray for. Yeah, what to ask God to do. He was teaching them the pattern they should follow whenever they pray. And then in that verse 10, it says, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as it is in heaven. So the kingdom of God comes through the revealings of the will of God. Yeah, the kingdom of God manifests as the will of God prevails in the earth. That is how the kingdom of God comes. Yeah, and when Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God, there's no time out of also read those places. Jesus was telling the people, he said, don't let anyone deceive you. Don't believe anyone that says, look, that is the kingdom. Look here, that is the kingdom of God. Come here. Here is the kingdom of God. Or look there. That is the kingdom of God. He said, don't let anyone deceive you. He said, the kingdom of God is among us. That is here. He was telling them that the kingdom is within you. Is already here. And then another place, he was telling the people, he said, if I, through the finger of God, cast out devils, it means that the kingdom of God is within you, is among you. Yeah, so Jesus already opened the eyes of the disciples to see that God's kingdom is here on earth. And that they should pray that the will of God continue to prevail even more. Because the more the will of God prevails in the earth, the more the kingdom of God prevails, and the more of God's kingdom that will be revealed to people. Yeah, so when Jesus was glorified, that is after he had died and resurrected, he told them, he said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So therefore go into the world Now make disciples of every nation. You're going to see that in Matthew. Matthew 28. Matthew 28 from verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. Take note of that. All power. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So Jesus said, he said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Yeah. So now that Jesus has been glorified, we have, or I should say, we are supposed to see more of the victories of God's kingdom in the end. We are supposed to see more of the victories of God's kingdom, more of the dominion. That is, we are supposed to see it manifest physically. Now that Jesus is glorified and he is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. So we are supposed to see more of the victories and dominion of God's kingdom manifesting in the earth. Why? Because God has given him all the power. God has given him a name that has conquered every other names. Yeah. I'm going to round off the teaching with this. I remember telling you some time ago how I was in prayer. And at the point, or let me say, I prayed to a point. And at that point, I began to say these very words, which I know was not coming from my head. Those words were coming from my spirit. And I began to say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Now, I kept on saying those words. And the more I say those words, the more I began to understand a lot of things about the Lordship of Jesus. The more I say those words, the more I began to get understanding. And at the point, I got an understanding that the world does not have a choice. Yeah, when we talk about the Lordship of Jesus over everything in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, it implies that those things don't have a choice. Yeah, so the Lord was telling me that He's the Lord, and it means that no one has a choice. When He wants something to happen so that is whether anyone likes it or not, because he is the Lord, he can do anything. I don't know if you are getting my point. But it means that the world does not have a choice than to surrender to Jesus. The world don't have any choice than to obey Jesus. Yeah, they don't have a choice. So whether they like it or not, they have to bow to Jesus because he's the Lord. Yeah, so when you pray with this understanding, you will get more results. Yeah, because some of you, maybe you have been praying for something to happen, and then you are thinking, not sure these people will do this thing. Maybe you are praying that some people somewhere make a decision that will be in your favor. And then you are thinking, what if those people refuse to make the decision? Is it really possible that this person that I know to be very wicked will just suddenly change his mind and do this thing that I want? If you understand the Lordship of Jesus, you will know that Jesus can make any person, whoever the person is, Jesus can make any person to do what he wants, whether the person likes it or not. Jesus can make any government of any nation to do what he wants, whether the government likes it or not. So that's the meaning of Jesus is Lord. Well, that's the meaning of the Lordship of Jesus. Yeah, so he has conquered the world. So we need to wise up, be wise. Yeah, if you really believe that Jesus has come to the world and spoken to the nations, and you really believe, there are some things that wouldn't happen in your life. Oh, they have already happened. But let's say you believed and you prayed according to that faith, those things would not have happened. And now that they have even happened, you can change them through this same thing. So in conclusion, what we are saying is that anything that is not the will of Jesus should not happen in this age. I'm going to repeat myself. Anything that is not the will of Jesus should not happen in this age. Whether those things are visible or invisible. So if Christians and begin to really pray after this pattern Jesus revealed to us in Matthew chapter 6 from verse 9 downward. If we can begin to pray that the will of God be done in the earth as it is in heaven, We are going to change a lot of situations. I'm telling you the truth. And what I'm telling you is not just theory. These are the things I have done. I have changed things. Because I learned that those things are not the will of Jesus. And I prayed until they changed. I learned by the Spirit that those situations are not the will of Jesus for me. And I prayed and the situations changed. And not just that. We have prayed for countries. We have prayed for nations. And we have seen God change things. Yeah. So the question is, how much changes do you want to see, both in your own life and your environment? There are countless testimonies. We have seen people who understood this. I have shared with you. We have seen them pray. They were able to close down false churches because these people were living in an environment that is surrounded with false churches. Churches planted by false prophets. And these people prayed. And they said, Jesus, we don't want this type of churches in this environment. It is not your will that we should have this type of churches in this environment. Churches that are deceiving people and initiating people into deep darkness. And they pray. And what happened? The churches closed down. The churches closed down. And not only that, we have seen people pray that God should close down some clubhouses, some beer parlors, where people come and drink alcohol and take substances and get drunk, and get high. You know, those clubhouses, those beer joints, beer parlors. Yeah, and not only that, we have seen people pray that God should close down brothels or hotels where they commit all forms of prostitution, sexual immoralities. They prayed, and Jesus shut down those places. Yeah, so if you really know who this Jesus is, I think your life and ministry is going to change. That is, if you really know who he is. But it's like many of us don't really know who he is. We are just beating about the bush. And some of us are just doing trial and error. Let me see if it's going to work. You are trying to test the name of Jesus if it's going to work. Is that not foolishness? You are trying to test if Jesus can produce results. But let me try if this will work. That is wrong. It's not about if it will work. It's not about if it will work. It always works. Yeah, it's about do you believe? Do you believe? It's not about if. Let me see. So that's what I see many Christians doing. and many pastors, they say, let me just pray. Maybe it will work. Maybe God will answer. That's very wrong. Yeah. There's nothing like maybe about these things. It's not about maybe. It's not about if. It's about what you want. Do you want the will of God to prevail in your life and environment? If it's yes, then pray in the name of Jesus, and it will happen. So this thing works, not that might work. So this is not a scientific experiment. Yeah, Jesus heals. Yeah, is different from maybe Jesus can heal me. No, Jesus heals, and there's nothing against that. Jesus delivers. Jesus provides. Like we can see here, he said, give us this day our daily bread. Yeah, Jesus saves. Jesus changes situations. So it's not about maybe he does that. There's no maybe in these things we are talking about. See, if maybe is still in your heart, you are still on that place of maybe it will happen. Maybe Jesus can do this. Then you are not ready to be free. Yeah, because it is not about maybe. It is not about if. It's about what do you really want. It's about the will of God. Yeah, if you can know the will of God, that is all. You know that this thing is the will of God for my life. That's all. All you need to do is to pray it into manifestation, because it will come to pass as long as it is the will of God. But then you might be asking, how do I know what is the will of God? Should that be a question that should be coming from the mouth of a Christian that have the Holy Spirit? The question, how do I know the will of God? Should it be a question that should come out from the mouth of a Christian that studies the Bible and that have the Holy Spirit? That should not be a question that should come out from such a Christian. Because if you study your Bible enough, you will know the will of God. Yeah, those people that pray that God should shut down false churches in the environment, how did they discover that they can pray and that will happen? Is it not true, the Bible? The Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the word and they that dwell therein. So these people, they read in the Bible and they saw that everywhere on earth belongs to God. And they say, how can God own this community? And false prophets, false churches will be operating in this community. So they gathered together and they prayed that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So God, we don't want this in this community, because this community is yours. They prayed honestly and fervently, and God answered. So if you study your Bible very well, won't you discover the will of God? You will. But the same devil that don't want your life to change for good, We also stopped you from studying the Bible. And then if you really have a good relationship with the Holy Spirit, will you not know the will of God? There was a man who was, when he was born, he was okay. Yeah, his eyes. But at a point, at a certain age, he got a sickness, and that sickness spread to his eyes, and his eyes got blind. Yeah, when he became a Christian, he intentionally went into 3 days dry fasting about the blindness. So he prayed and said, God, I want to know about this blindness. Why this blindness is there? I mean, because he had prayed and then the eyes did not open. Yeah, God did not open the eyes. He had prayed that God should open his blind eyes. But the eyes did not open. So he said, okay, I know that it is the will of God that I get healed. But I need to understand why I prayed and the healing did not happen. And then he went into dry fasting because he wants to understand what is God saying about this. Now, if you really are a serious Christian and you saw in the Bible the will of God and you prayed that that will of God you saw in the Bible should happen in your life and it did not happen, if you really, really, really believe, you will pray more so that you can understand what is the mystery behind this situation in my life. And I know that this situation is not the will of God according to the Bible. So I want to know why I prayed and it did not go. You will pray even more. So this man decided to go on dry fasting on that same issue and say, God, I know this is not your will that I am blind. God, what is behind this thing? I want to know, why is it that I prayed and you did not open my eyes? Now, how many Christians are doing that now? How many Christians are really serious with God in the, you know, you, I mean, the way this man was so serious with God and with the Word of God. I don't know if you're getting my point. How many Christians are really desperate to press further because they know that the Word of God is not a lie? How many Christians are ready to press further in prayer and fasting to seek God further, to seek God more, so that they can understand why certain prayers they have been praying have not got, have not been answered? How many Christians are really doing that today? But these are Christians that are very quick to say, my life is just upside down. Everything is just not working. I am just suffering. And they are quick to say negative things. In fact, they even say negative things about God's servants. I don't think that pastor really have anointing. All the prayers he has been praying, none of them is working. May God deliver to these Christians. Now, this man that I said is blind or was blind, decided to pray more. And then God visited him. And God told him why he did not open his eyes. God said, I'm giving you two choices, two options. God said, if you really want me to open your eyes, I will open it right now. But if I open your eyes, I will not be able to use you for mighty things. The man did not know that he had a calling. He was just desperate to see his eyes opened. He did not even know that there's a call of God upon his life. That is why it's good to seek God passionately. So God said, I did not open your eyes because I want to use this thing to keep you humble. It's just the same with what God told Paul, the apostle, when he prayed that God take away his own sickness. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So God told him, I'm not taking this sickness away, but I'm going to make my grace sufficient for you that you won't even be affected by this sickness. This sickness will not be able to stop you from fulfilling your calling and destiny. So God told that man, he said, it's either I open your eyes or I use you for mighty things. In fact, God said, I will even use you to open the eyes of many blind people. So God said, God told him that he's keeping the eyes blind because he wants to use them mightily. And this blindness will keep him humble so he can use them. So without some deep level of humility, God cannot use many people for mighty things. Without they having some level of humility. So God can't use them for mighty things. So God told him, your blind eyes is to keep you humble enough for me to use you for mighty things. But if you say I should open it, I will open it right now. But I won't be able to use you to save souls, to deliver people. So the man took time to think about it. God gave him time to think and make a decision. So then he made his decision. He said he wants to be used mightily, that God should lift the eyes and not open it. Now, the reason why I'm referring to this story is to tell you that there are mysteries behind unanswered prayers. And if you can seek God for the reasons why some prayers you have been praying have not yet answered, maybe you will even discover your calling along the line. Maybe you will discover many deep things. So we are going to pray. Don't join those people that think God is weak. God does not answer prayers. And God is powerless. Those people that have given up on God and given up on prayer and fasting, don't join those people if you really know the greatness of who Jesus is. You will pray a lot. The reason why I pray a lot personally is because I know who Jesus is. I know who God is. And I know what the kingdom of God is. So I know what will happen if I pray. That is why I pray a lot. Yeah. And I'm not praying with the mind of maybe it will happen. Maybe it might. Who knows, maybe it will happen. I don't pray like that. Because it will happen. Yeah. You're going to, I want us to pray now because our time is already far spent. And I want you to talk to God. You're going to say, Father, by your Holy Spirit, reveal to me the greatness of the Lordship of Jesus. You're going to say, Father, by your Holy Spirit in me, reveal to me the greatness of the kingdom of Jesus. The greatness of the kingdom of Jesus. The greatness of the Lordship of Jesus. The greatness of the dominion of Jesus. That is all you need to see. I'm telling you the truth. Open your mouth and pray like that. That is all you need to see. You just need to see the greatness of who He is. The Father, by your Holy Spirit in me, reveal to me the greatness of the Lordship of Jesus. Reveal to me the greatness of the Lordship of Jesus. Show me how Jesus has conquered this world. Show me how Jesus has conquered Satan, sickness and diseases, sin, and sinful nature. Show me how Jesus has conquered everything and everyone. Show me how Jesus has conquered the governments of the world, the kings of the world. Pray like that. The Father, reveal to me the greatness of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Thank you, Jesus. If only you can see, your life will not remain the same again. If only you can see how great He is. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. We have two more prayer points. Jesus told Thomas, He said, you believe that I am the Son of God. because you saw the holes in my hands. Yeah, because Thomas had earlier said, I cannot believe that this man has resurrected from the grave. He said, only if I can see the holes in his hands and even put my hand inside those holes, that is when I will believe that what you guys are saying, that he has risen, is true. And because of him, Jesus had to come again to appear to them, to appear to the disciples. And then he called them and said, look, come and put your hand in that hole. And they see that is how many Christians are today. They want to see signs before they believe. They want to put their finger in the hole, in the hand of Jesus, before they believe that he has risen. Are you also like that? Jesus said to him, he said, blessed is he that to believe without seeing. Yeah. You're going to pray. The reason why many Christians are still suffering today is because their faith has been damaged. They have turned to scientific Christians. They want to see before they believe. They don't know how to believe before they see. You're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, heal my faith. You want to be able to believe before I see. Heal my faith. Open your mouth and pray like that. Say, Father, heal my faith. There are some things that I can't even tell some people because they cannot believe. There are things I don't say in the public because people cannot believe. Yeah, but those things are very real to me and in my own life, very real. But I know nobody will believe. Yeah, because it appears to me that everyone now are scientific Christians. Their faith is dead. And yet they pray, they fast, they attend church meetings, prayer meetings, but yet their faith is gone. Ask God to help you. Are you still looking for signs before you will really believe? The Father, heal my faith. Heal my faith. I want to be able to believe before I see. Before I see your glory. Before I see mighty miracles. I want to be able to believe. I want to believe. I want to have a pure faith, a genuine faith, a living faith. The Father, heal my faith. Heal my faith. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. And lastly, you're going to pray. We talked about the manifestation of God's kingdom in the head. He said,
Mm.
That manifestation is in the will of God prevailing in the end. The more the will of God is done in the end, the more of God's kingdom and glory that will be revealed. So you're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, let your will prevail in my life, in my family, in my environment, in my community, and in my nation. Open your mouth and pray, God. Say, Father, let your will prevail. Let your will be done. Even in the Old Testament, before you pray for the will of God to be done, and their prayers. You can go and study the Old Testament. Yeah. So if the will of God can prevail in the head, even in the Old Testament days, how much more now that Jesus has come and have died and then give us a name that is above every name. Say, Father, let your will be done in my life, in my family, in my community, in my environment, and in my country. Let your will prevail. Let your will prevail in my spirit, in my soul, in my body. Your will, let it prevail. Your will, let it prevail. I believe you are praying. Let your will prevail. That the world may see your glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I'm going to pray for you and also pray on your water. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for your message that endures forever. Thank you for your grace that is sufficient for us. Thank you for great plans you have for us. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for showing us from the scriptures how you have conquered the world through Jesus Christ. And now you have subdued all nations under Jesus' feet. And how you have given us a name that have conquered every other names. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for showing us that your lordship is unquestionable. Thank you for showing us that you always have your way and nobody can stop you. Whether anyone likes it or not, you always have your way. You always do your will. Thank you for showing us that. Therefore, Lord, I ask that in the lives of your people that are here, right now, do your will, and let nothing stop you. In the name of Jesus, I call on you, Lord Jesus, that you do your will in the lives of everyone here right now, and let nothing stop you. In Jesus' name, I pray for you that in your spirit, the will of Jesus shall prevail. In your soul, the will of Jesus shall prevail. And in your body, the will of Jesus shall prevail. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I pray for those of you that is going to take this message very serious, and we go back to begin to pray seriously about several issues in your lives. I pray for you that as you go back to seek the Lord concerning several issues in your life, asking Him to reveal His will concerning those issues and to do His will concerning those issues, may you find mercy in the name of Jesus. May the Lord appear to you and open your eyes in the name of Jesus. I pray on your workers. Let healing power of Jesus enter into your water right now. In Jesus' name, let transforming power, creative power of Jesus enter into this water right now. In Jesus' name. Let the deliverance power of Jesus, let the judgmental power of Jesus enter into this water right now. In Jesus' name, as you have believed, so shall God do with this water in your life. I repeat, as you have believed, so shall God do with this water in your life, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen.